This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Hello, good morning. I'm Noelle Lim. Our guest is Tun Mahathir Mohamad. He needs little introduction because he was the fourth and seventh Prime Minister of Malaysia. Tun, welcome to our show. Now, a state of emergency has been declared and it's something you don't agree with. What would you do instead?
Well, actually, the government has already enough power to deal with the COVID-19. It's not like other countries where there were people protesting against government instructions and all that. In Malaysia, no. Anything that the government says, we do. We don't protest. We don't take to the streets. In America, in Germany, they take to the streets. So then they need to have additional power in order to enforce. But in Malaysia, there is no need for that. You would tell the people to do anything, they will do.
People believe that this is not really about COVID-19 and it's really about politics. This move does give Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin some breathing space. People do see this as providing some political stability. Would you agree to that?
Well, it would be a dictatorship, a kind of dictatorship where people cannot protest. So we are doing away with democracy completely by using emergency in order to give Muhyiddin full power without anybody saying anything. But he is not doing much in terms of running the country. The economy is going down and people are suffering from this action we have taken. The MCO means a lot of people will have no income, no food even. That is why we feel that these matters should be open to public debate.
I find it a bit rich that you call Muhyiddin a dictator. You have the reputation of being one yourself too. Operasi Lalang and ISA come to mind.
A dictator rules by decree. Whether it is right or wrong, we wouldn't know. We are no longer democratic. So we are sacrificing democracy in order to give him full power to do what he likes. For example, my party will not be registered. You can't question because there is no way we can appeal. So he is, in that sense, a dictator. I don't get my way all the time because some of my members in the cabinet are very strong in their views. So there is a cabinet, and the cabinet will ensure you don't do things which are not acceptable.
Well, should Muhyiddin, for some reason, lose majority support, he could govern as a minority government, but he would need to negotiate confidence and supply agreements with the opposition. And this really puts him at the mercy of influential, opportunistic politicians, which, you know, they are making demands that may not be in the best interests of Malaysians. And wouldn't you see this then, the emergency, as just that necessary step to just stop this politicking?
Yeah, but it gives tremendous power to the Prime Minister. So far, the Prime Minister has not shown he is able of handling the problems of this country.
What about you? What would you have done instead if you were Prime Minister?
You mean the allocation for dealing with COVID was very small, much smaller than the allocation for the Prime Minister. We need a big allocation. We need to have more hospitals. Because if you say that the hospitals are already full, in England, they build a hospital in 9 days that can accommodate 4,000 people.
After Lanka Sheraton, if you had chosen not to resign and had chosen to continuously work with Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, you might still be Prime Minister today, or Pakatan Harapan may still be in power. Did you resign because you saw this as an opportunity to break away from Anwar, or do you act in haste and overestimated the support you actually had?
The thing is that before the Lanka Sheraton, the opposition party, including Najib and everybody, signed statutory declaration supporting me as the Prime Minister. And Pakatan Harapan also supported me as prime minister. But they asked me to resign from, to leave Pakatan Harapan and bring it down. This is Muhyiddin, Azmin, and a few others. They asked me to pull out Bersatu from Pakatan Harapan. Together with Azmin, there will be about 20-something. And when we pull out, Pakatan Harapan will collapse. They asked that we should bring down Pakatan Harapan. I disagreed. I said, look, let's wait first and see whether Pakatan Harapan is going to do something bad or not. But before anything happens, they caused Pakatan Harapan to collapse by pulling out the majority.
But you didn't have to resign as prime minister.
Well, when Pakatan Harapan collapsed, I'm no longer the prime minister.
Legally, you can stay on as prime minister. You didn't have to resign. You can be like a caretaker prime minister.
Look, my party rejected my advice. That means they have no confidence in me. As it seems they have no confidence in me, I have to resign my position in the party as the chairman. And if I'm not the chairman, I cannot be the prime minister.
It's not like you, you know, you're not that person to give in so easily. You're the person that will soldier on, and you could have just stayed on as prime minister because, you know, this was an act of a group of rogue politicians exploiting the system. You could have just stayed on and held your ground.
I have never been rejected by my own party throughout my life. That was the first time when my political secretary caused me moved the motion to reject me.
So would you say that maybe you were guided by your emotions when you resigned?
No.
Because you were so upset and disappointed people didn't support you?
When your party doesn't believe in you, you cannot be a leader.
You can govern a minority government.
I cannot. Minority government cannot function. Every time you move something, they can always bring it down, oppose it, and you can't even enact any law.
But you could have tried. I mean, by your sheer personality and your intellect, I'm sure you would have been able to convince MPs even on the opposition side to, go with you, even though on paper they are, you know, with different parties.
In my own party, I was a chairman. And the chairman is the highest ranking officer in my party. But my party rejected me.
Why didn't you join PKR then?
Oh, no, I can't join PKR because that's a multiracial party.
You don't stand for a multiracial party?
No, I want to bring the Malays together so that they can support the opposition. If I hadn't formed Persatu, the opposition will be multiracial and will never win. They tried many times, they lost. I brought in some Malays to support them. Then they won.
Here is, I think, where Malaysia needs to have a paradigm shift. We need people like you to move that country to start thinking that it's not just about Malay support. It is about Malaysia for Malaysians.
When I do something for the Malays, it is meant for the whole country. It's meant for everybody. Because we have great disparity in terms of wealth between Malays and other races. There will be conflict. This is historical. In many countries, because of the disparity in wealth between rich and poor, there have been revolutions, even people being killed. I want to avoid that. I want to reduce the disparity between Malays and Chinese and Indians.
But there are also poor Chinese and many poor Indians.
Yeah, but they have been looked after.
Well, I think that's debatable whether they've been looked after.
A study in this country, all races have done well. And the Chinese, because they are very able, they are very, well, their civilization is 6,000 years old and they have survived anywhere they go. They can survive on their own. They came here as coolies, but today they are not coolies anymore because they have that capacity. But the Malays don't have that capacity.
And maybe it's because we keep telling them they don't have the capacity. And I have to say, you do say that quite often. That's part of the problem.
When you don't admit the truth, you can solve a problem. During my time, I sent a lot of them to study abroad, and they have come back, and they are qualified. They have improved their capacity, but there are so many of them in the rural areas who are very poor. All these things are problems, social problems.
Yeah, I think we are not denying the fact that we need to help the poor, but the race argument should be taken out. So it's about poor, whether you're poor, Malay, Indian, Chinese. If you're poor, we need to give you that support.
But if you focus for other races also, the others seem to be able to do things on their own. They can benefit. But the Malays, they have done wrong things and we have to correct them.
Tun Mahathir Mohamad, the former Prime Minister of Malaysia, is on the Breakfast Grill this morning. After this, we'll discuss his relationship with Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim. Keep it here.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back. Tun Mahathir Mohamad, the former Prime Minister of Malaysia, is our guest this morning. Why do you think Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim is not fit to become Prime Minister?
No, I'm not against him. But he wants me to resign before I finish my work. I will step down. I told him I will step down. In fact, I told him, yeah, just give me 6 months because I have got work to do. You see, all my work that is meant to develop this country, solve many problems, political, educational and all that, are now thrown out because I'm no longer the Prime Minister.
Can I come back to that question? So you do support the fact that if Anwar becomes Prime Minister, you do support that he deserves to become Prime Minister?
Yeah, he will become Prime Minister. But there is one thing that you have to accept, that he gets majority support. I cannot determine. I cannot just say you become Prime Minister. You have to get the support of the majority of members of Parliament.
If not Anwar, who should carry the torch if you're no longer around?
Parliament can determine. There are many people that want to be Prime Minister. I don't want to name them. A lot of people have got ambition to become Prime Minister.
Do you think who is most promising?
If I tell you that, then I'll be naming names.
Well, in your mind, surely you must have a candidate that you think is deserving of leading this country.
Few people who are very interested in becoming Prime Minister.
I think a lot of people are interested in becoming PM, but who in your eyes is most capable to take this on?
No, I cannot say that because when I say, it becomes a controversy.
So you obviously must have a controversial name in mind?
No, I think the people can make their own decision. At this moment, only Parliament can decide. Parliament, even if the Agong appoints a Prime Minister, he goes to Parliament and the Parliament rejects him, he will not be the Prime Minister because he cannot form a government if you don't have the majority. Every time you want to pass a law, it will be rejected by the majority. There can be no government that is a minority. You must have minority plus plus before you can function.
Why, in your mind, is Shafi Abdal potentially a better Prime Minister than Anwar?
Well, this is the feeling of Guan Ying, of DAP. Anwar doesn't want me to be there at all. But if I'm not there, the Malays will not support Pakatan Harapan. And he will not be able to continue as Prime Minister.
And why would the Malays not support Anwar?
Well, they don't think he is pro-Malay.
And that's because that's the messaging that they are constantly being brainwashed by politicians like yourself and UMNO.
No, because he brainwashed a lot of people. He was from UMNO before, but you know, he had to leave UMNO. And then he formed multiracial party because he couldn't get Malay support. When he couldn't get Malay support, he thought he could get Chinese and Indian support by forming a multiracial party. And then he started saying that Malays are racist, that UMNO is racist. And this, of course, didn't make him popular with the Malays.
The sentiment is that if Anwar becomes PM, the path for your son, Mukriz, is less clear. Whereas if Shafi is PM, there's a better chance that your son will become DPM and have a shot of becoming PM one day. What's your response to that?
You know, during the time when I was prime minister, I didn't even allow my children to join UMNO even. They had to fight their own fight. Only after I stepped down, they able to join UMNO and take part in politics. I don't support my children. There is no nepotism. I'm against nepotism, even if it means sacrificing my own children.
In the next GE, you will have to work with a major party. Perjuang has to work with a major party. Who is most promising?
I will tell you, he's very concerned about bribery and corruption. Today, whole governments can be bought and who with money and bad intention can buy a government and govern this country. Just imagine a government of this country which is corrupt. And what will they do? They will be even more corrupt when they have power. This is what Perjuang is all about. We will not be able to form the government. We know we are a small party, but we want to fight to eradicate corruption. Is that bad?
It's not bad, but you will have to work with a major party to be part of a major coalition in order to make the changes that you wish to see.
The major party will have to work with us in order to form the government. Because in an election, it is most likely that neither the left nor the right, neither Ikatan Nasional nor Pakatan Harapan will get a clear majority.
So if let's say UMNO comes into power and your condition will be the leaders, whoever is facing court charges will have to step down first before you agree to work with them?
Yes, they must. I will not work with people who are charged in court for crimes, whether they have been found guilty or not. These people know they are guilty. It would be a sad day when the whole world knows people have stolen money and the court says, no, they have not stolen. It will be a sad day for our judiciary.
You've been added into the Counter-Extremism Project's list of top 20 most dangerous extremists around the world. In particular, I just want to highlight your comment claiming that Muslims have a right to be angry and kill millions of French people for massacres of the past. CEP considers your words are very meaningful because they carry weight as you are a respected leader in the Muslim world.
It says there, an eye for an eye. If you kill a person, then you should be killed. That is the law in Islam. I'm just stating the law. And yet Muslims did not follow their own law. They were very accommodating. They practically make peace with France.
Yeah, but that's the past. We're talking about the current future and your current comments. Why do you think that comment is warranted, killing French people? I mean, you're a trained doctor.
The law is still the law even now. If we don't apply the law, it is our decision. For the Muslim, it is a Sharia law. They say, I have criticized the West. I have condemned them for supporting the Jews, even when the Jews committed wrong thing. And because of that, the West doesn't like me. Nobody else says that. But I say that even in the United Nations, I said that. I said, you are not fair. They're trying to find something to label me. And they label me as a terrorist. And they do. People like Blair, people like Bush, declared war on Iraq. Today, what happens to Iraq? You see, they are the terrorists, not me. I didn't kill a single person.
When I look back at your record as Prime Minister two times, I think you were outstanding. In many regards, I think at one point, I think Malaysians are just proud to be Malaysians. But at the same time, there was a lot of damage under your watch. Corruption was tolerated. Proton and Malaysia Airlines were a mess. And ultimately, not settling old scores with Anwar. I think many people feel let down by you, and me included. What do you hope would be your legacy?
Yes, there is corruption, but not to the point where the Prime Minister is corrupt. Prime Minister stole money. Everybody knows. The Prime Minister stole billions of money. Did I steal money?
Did you steal money?
I didn't steal 1 cent. You know, I give back my money. When I became Prime Minister, I insisted that the cabinet cuts their salary by 10%. You see, I give back my money.
What do you hope will be your legacy?
I don't care about my legacy. I don't care. I'm quite sure when I'm dead and gone, people will run me down and all that. It's not important. I'll be dead anyway. What legacy?
Well, it's really an honor speaking with you. Thank you so much, and please stay well and healthy. That was Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, former Prime Minister of Malaysia. I'm Noel Lim on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.